We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my Wild Country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Man, those two really hate each other. That feud's like Biggie Tupac level. Maybe even Morgan Freeman, Shailene Woodley level.
With Dusty Hera.
I'm not hygienic. I don't wipe properly. I lack style.
And the man who accepted impermissible teriyaki benefits as a college All-American, Cam Cleland.
Why does anybody in the world ever eat anything but breakfast food?
People are idiots, Ron.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the man is always watching. That's our takeaway from the break.
I just blew your mind, didn't I?
We were talking about earlier acid reflux.
Coughing,
it was mentioned. Acid reflux was mentioned. And Cam is scrolling and perusing through Instagram, and you said, look at this. And you show me an Instagram ad during that break of... Buck, what are you doing?
Your mic
we
is
can
on.
Hear you moving around in there.
Hey.
Hello. But
hi, Mike.
You show me an Instagram ad for acid reflux that started playing immediately afterwards.
On my phone.
On your phone.
Instantaneous. It's called Orange Burps.
Well, don't give them a plug.
I'm not giving them a plug, but...
Now you're going to get more ads.
Isaac and Suk, I think, did this the other day. Those of us that are out there, they were trying to put this thing to bed, debunk it. I am straight up on this because we're on media.
We've talked about this before.
No, but it's more egregious with us because we're in the media side and things go out on the internet and our voices go over onto the internet feeds because we're also have a stream, not just through the airwaves. But if you start doing something, just, I'm telling you, click on your stuff and see how creepy this is.
It's very disturbing to
I
see
had
that.
Almost an identical situation happen last night. I was at a friend's house for Monday Night Football.
Oh, and, Buck has friends.
Oh, yeah.
It's a sick brag, bro.
Yeah, well, there are only two of them. But we were discussing wedding attire as he's getting married next summer, too. I described a very specific jacket that I have never searched for online. And when I got home, I popped up Facebook and the color... The style and even the little details was being advertised to me on my Facebook page.
It's listening.
It's
crazy. I know the phone is listening. I know the things that are listening. I know it.
I turn all that stuff off. My wife always gets upset at me because I don't have permissions for any of the apps. Like when it asks me, hey, do you want to turn this on? Do you want to? Hey,
I don't have permissions either.
Don't turn any of them on. Man's not listening to me. Or maybe I just don't.
What are you talking about? You're in radio. He's listening every single day.
Well, yeah, but not through my phone.
Yeah.
Not through
on everyone else's devices.
Just
that's
through
right.
everyone else's device.
I turn my permissions off, and I wear my tinfoil hat, and nobody can track me that way.
You want to test it? You want to test it later, and we'll end the show with something?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about something.
I would
something.
Love to.
What are we going to talk about?
Well,
we're
we
in
need
a sports
to,
talk
it's
show.
It's got to be something that we wouldn't normally talk about, like acid reflux
acid
is a
reflux.
Great one,
okay.
Because we don't normally talk about that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Can I side note tangent really quickly
sure.
here?
Sure, why not?
The Facebook ads, so when you watch a video on Facebook now, and you'll just be trucking right along, and then it just plops in a random ad for every video, just right in the middle.
Yeah.
There is, I will not watch that video. I'll just turn the video off. And I'm definitely not buying your product if you're one of those advertisers. Am I the only person that feels that strongly about them? Like, it'll just be like a normal video of like, was something and then boom right in the middle at the even if it's like a movie trailer I'm watching a commercial on Facebook for a movie and then they throw a commercial in the middle
right
of the
there.
Movie
perfect
I hate it
yeah that's the ad sales new way of just absolutely forcing it upon you where it used to be the pre-roll ad right where you go on
right.
and that still exists
right in middle.
But they're like oh well people know this now so they'll just mute this until it's done and wait now they're just ruining it from the middle on so that you have to, you has your attention and then you're paying attention again.
Better You Today text line. We tested this talking about cat litter a few hours later. I got an ad for cat litter. I don't own a cat. So I have to, okay, we're going to move on. But about 2 months ago or a month ago, it was back in June. My son hurt his ankle and he broke his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about the doctor's office about being charged an exorbitant amount for a boot, you know, those little walking boots called a Cam Walker. And I said, oh my God, the charge was like $300 and some, you know, the medical team getting that. And I said, I found that same boot for $40 on Amazon. My phone had robot calls from insurance companies selling me insurance and irritatingly say, I signed up for insurance, which I didn't do. And it hasn't stopped for almost 2.5 months.
See, now
all insurance people, different phone numbers, leaving insurance questions on my phone.
That's my other.
How did that happen?
This goes along the lines of throwing the video randomly in the middle. Robot calls. Well, it happened because they're listening to you, man.
Well, I know they're listening to me. Now I'm going to get more calls, and I'm just forever trapped.
They wouldn't be doing robot calls for this long in our history if they weren't effective, right? I mean, why? Because why? Like, you have to. You're paying people, presumably, to call all of these people around there and do the robot calls and to set this whole thing up. I don't understand why people are like, you know what? This sounds like a great idea.
It's a numbers game. I mean, basically, if you, because of the targeted nature of it, if they hear you talk, Cam talking about a medical issue, there's a higher likelihood that Cam or someone in his family is going to need that health insurance. So maybe their percentages go from 1 in 1,000 of someone who's going to sign up to 1 in 100 because it's more likely. I mean, I think.
Well, that I understand. But I'm talking about just the, remember the old school casting a wide net and just kind of throwing it out there, like the guy at the bar who goes up and hits on every girl because one of them's bound to say yes.
Yeah.
I understand that, but it's like, I don't understand the people, just like the guy at the bar, I don't understand the girl who finally says yes.
Well, eventually there's going to be someone who says, I actually do need that. Someone's going to say, I actually do need that.
Oh my gosh.
And they're just trying harder to find that person now.
I guess.
It is creepy.
It's very creepy.
It's very creepy. It's called God's Eye. Haven't you watched Fast and Furious?
No.
You haven't, Buck? Fast and Furious?
I've watched a couple. I don't remember which one's which.
So God's Eye in Fast and Furious is something that a software system where it uses our phones and every camera in the world, wherever we're at, any camera, anywhere, and you can tap into it and search and find facial recognition of people anywhere in the world at any time and listen to them in their conversations and already use what's already out there across the world.
Wow.
Think about it. Everything has a little camera on it.
Well, that's why you're not supposed to smile in your DMV photos or passport photos.
But everything has a microphone. Everything has a camera. And all you have to do is get into the software. Don't tell me that that's not already out there. You're listening to us. Okay, anyway, sorry.
All right.
Just got really creeped out. So what are we going to talk about?
So
what do we need?
That's conspiracy theories in the morning with Dusty and Cam.
What do we need? We need to pick something to debunk this, see if it works. Okay. I've already proved that it works. Acid reflux. Okay, that's we got that ad. I don't know. We'll think about it.
Weed and feed. My lawn needs to be treated for, grass seed, because people are actually treating the lawn.
It's a good time to plant for grass seed. I'm in the need for that, too. I need good grass seed that I'm looking to right now.
Yeah.
Okay. I filled in some spots in my yard.
Perfect.
Looking to find a way or what kind of grass seed would be the best.
I need to grow a full, luscious lawn.
Sure do. Buck, don't you need some seed?
Some seed, possibly some fertilizer, even a mower. Any kind of lawn accoutrement, really.
Mm.
Okay.
See, that's a good one because we're in October.
Yeah, we're in October.
We're in October.
I wonder what kind of brand I would pick. I don't know.
All right. Let's get back on track, shall we?
Sports.
Portland Trailblazers owner Paul Allen passed away at the age of 65 yesterday. His influence felt in everyday technology, maybe even these devices that we're talking about right now, as he was a co-founder of Microsoft and a pioneer in the technology world. Also the owner of the Portland Trailblazers and one of his stars from the heyday and rise of his ownership in Portland. Terry Porter will join us next. The University of Portland head basketball coach has his rafters hanging in the Moda Center. And TP joins us after this on The Fan. Portland Trailblazers owner Paul Allen passed away yesterday at the age of 65 years old. And to get a little insight on the man that was the owner and kind of who he was, we bring on one of his favorites. Our next guest on the Catlin Capital Hotline's number resides in the rafters of Moda Center. He's the head coach now at the University of Portland. Terry Porter joins us. Good morning, Terry. Thanks for taking a few minutes for us. How are you doing this morning?
You doing okay? Good morning. Who is this, Cam or Dusty?
This is Dusty.
Okay. How's this sound? Is it echoing? Should I pick up the? You guys on speaker?
you're
rock
good.
Solid.
You're good right where we're at, my man. We are good right where we're
awesome.
At.
Awesome. Awesome.
You came to Portland 1985. You were drafted into Portland out of Wisconsin Stevens Point, and then Mr. Glickman was running the team, and then a few years into your tenure as a professional. Then Paul Allen becomes the owner of the Portland Trailblazers. Can you talk about Paul Allen, the owner, and kind of what he meant to you in that transition of becoming the Paul Allen-led Portland Trailblazers?
Yeah, so those early years of Paul owning the team, Paul was really like, he was like a fan. It was unbelievable. He just loved being around the guys, trying to learn as much as he can about basketball. He didn't have a basketball background, but he always loved the sport and loved watching the sport. So those early years was really all about just him coming in, trying to build relationships with the guys, sometimes to a fault, and trying to get to know guys' families and making sure guys had everything they needed from the organization that can make us be successful. I mean, he asked, in regards to any type of things. You know, at first, we were on the first team that had a private plane that flew charter. And, this league is so much like a copycat league that I think the year we made it to the finals in the 90s, Detroit had a plane and we had a plane. And then, years to follow, every team looked at that and start, charting planes. So he was definitely a trailblazer, so to speak, in that regard. So, it was just great to have him there. He was always, those early days when he had the big beards, you almost look at Paul Bunyan like a guy, an owner, when you think about owners back then. But he was one of the first owners of those, that new owner breed that had a lot of resources but also wanted to be more involved with the players and getting to know players. He always had, his door was always open to players to talk about anything regarding business. And if you needed something, if your family needed something, he did whatever was needed to accommodate you.
Terry, what was your first interaction with Paul Allen? I mean, I know I remember speaking my time, getting a chance to meet the owners, and that first time you kind of shake their hand, you go, okay, what is this about? Can you take us back to that first time? Maybe you got a chance to say hi to him or his conversation with you about what he thought about the program or and yourself and just that experience with him for the first time.
Yeah, I think we're at obviously some type of gathering, and he was introduced to everybody, and then we had a chance to chat. Obviously, it was an environment with a lot of people, so I mean, we didn't get a chance to spend a lot of time with him the very first time. He just gave us his vision early on, spoke to everybody, and then kind of worked his way around the room, so to speak. And then as the year went on, he said in his speech that he was going to, spend some time with each guy and try to get a feel for, what your thoughts are on the organization and how he can, how he can improve it. So it was, the first thoughts was, wow, he seemed very committed to what was needed for the team to turn the corner and try to get better. So from that standpoint, he seemed very concerned and caring of, what our well-being was and what our, and getting to know us.
Terry Porter is our guest on the Catlin Capital Hotline, former Trailblazer, great now, the head coach at the University of Portland men's basketball program. So you mentioned that he wanted to get to know the players, and we've heard these stories of he would actually bring you guys out, and you mentioned like the first time there was a party. Was there any interactions that you guys kind of, you had different stops around the league that were different where he would take you guys to places? Were you part of the teams that would go up to Mercer Island in practice or practice at his homes or anything like that where it was kind of a little bit different than other places that you went?
Yeah, I mean, that was very unique. I mean, when Seattle had a team, wherever we went up there, we normally went up the night before and practiced and got a chance to have dinner with him and his family, his mom and his sister at their place and got to see, he gave us tours of his house and, all the guys were like, unbelievable, eyes wide open, mouth wide open, just amazed at, you know, his collection of cars and his library. You know, so from that, it was a lot of that. And those are the type of meetings where he watched us practice and we had more one-on-ones with him and had a chance to really talk to him about, you know, guys had curious questions about, you know, how he started, you know, Microsoft and, you know, talked about, you know, things that was not always basketball, but just life. And, so those are the type of moments that was exciting to be able to get to know your owner that way.
You know, some owners are always built into, we want to make money. I mean, some owners are built that way. Others are businessmen. Did you feel like Mr. Allen felt like he really had a passion to win and cared about basketball more than anything? And he did own the Seahawks at the time, too, during this run. But did you feel during your run that he really cared about winning and building a great organization?
Yeah, I would say those are two of the things he talked about when we first met him in regards to his vision was, you know, build something that's sustainable, build an organization that the city, the players, the staff, and he could be proud of and has looked around the league as one of the best organizations, run organizations in the league. And so in my time with him, he did all that. I mean, he, like I said, he always tried to give what's best for the players in regards to salaries. He always tried to make sure all the amenities and things of that nature was great. And if they wasn't, there was stuff in plan to try to make it. And I'd left before they built a new facility out at Tualatin, but that was something that he mentioned right away that there was going to be done where we could have their our own facility. Because back in the days, people don't remember that. Sure, we were practicing at Lewis and Clark, Lake Oswego, George Community Center. We didn't have a permanent site. So he, in regards to what he envisioned for the organizations and the type of facilities that they needed to make it, you know, a championship caliber organization, he took those necessary steps.
You know, and that's an amazing thing that you said right there is the professional basketball team in Portland was practicing at the Jewish Community Center in Portland, Oregon at one point. Now, one of the things that you left Portland, and obviously you had stops along the way, and then you came back and you were an ambassador to the Portland Trailblazers. When you left Portland, was there a conversation that you had with him, with Paul Allen, when you left town? And obviously they brought you back, the whole organization did, with open arms. When you came back, did you always feel like you were kind of a welcome member of the Blazers community?
Well, I don't have a particular conversation with Paul at the time. I just know I had left and, you know, we just left on very good terms. And so, you know, we just talked about in general, hey, if you ever get back this way, we'd definitely love to have you be a part of this organization. But that wasn't with Paul. That was a GM at the time. And so, you know, that was something you never know. I mean, that stuff sometimes that just happens on the exit meetings. You know, you have those conversations. But I didn't know at that time if I was going to be coming back or not. I didn't know what my future held for me. But, no, Portland's always felt like it was a place that, you know, I could easily make home because I grew up here. My wife grew up here. Two of my kids were born here. But what Paul did for this city, you know, people – you know, sometimes I don't give him credit, but he did a tremendous amount of work in our community that not always was, you know, in the newspaper or in the latest news cycle. But he cared about this community and he cared about, you know, trying to make it right.
Terry Porter, our guest. Thank you for your time, Terry, head basketball coach at the University of Portland, now former Portland Trailblazer. Great. Thank you for sharing a few stories about Mr. Allen and joining us this morning.
You guys are welcome. You guys have a great day.
You too. The Portland Pilots over on our sister station, ESPN Portland 910. Jason Swigard, the play-by-play voice of the Pilots, getting their season underway at the end of this month. You hear about that. I mean, just think about when our first meeting came up, he was like a fan.
Yeah.
That's how he owned the team. And that is what every fan's dream is, right?
Well, it's every fan's dream, but you hear too about what he said, players getting a chance to have a private plane or destinations, not having a facility, and him building a facility here too and changing it and getting to see the investment. I mean, I believed that Paul Allen did a lot, but you just didn't hear as much. I mean, I know there were things that he did. You certainly do, but he wasn't the guy that needed all the – accolades. He really wasn't. You could just hear it. You hear it from Terry talking about that first interaction. I'm going to commit to it. I want you guys to do your job, and then I'm going to be there to support you.
Think of right now, best owner in the NFL is Robert Kraft.
Very subjective. I mean, it's opinion-based, certainly. Stan Kroenke comes to mind, certainly for me, looking at that. There's a lot of great owners. You can't say that Jerry Jones and that family is not supportive, okay, supportive of what it is to build a brand.
Jerry Jones, fan.
Yeah.
Robert Kraft, massive fan.
Yep.
Right? Paul Allen, his ownership of the Seahawks and Blazers, very good. And they were fans of the team. They wanted their team to succeed. And we also see the penny-pinching side of ownership.
Oh, the Brown family in Cincinnati, you know, the Bidwells. I mean, there's all sorts of different things.
And there's one person, and just having deep pockets doesn't always mean that you're going to have an owner that cares about it. Some of them you have to have deep pockets now in order to be an owner. One thing that Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN said yesterday that really highlights Paul Allen as an owner for Portland, and it meant a little bit more to everybody else. We'll discuss that, plus your feedback. We revisit the passing of Paul Allen on the Better You Today text line 55305 after Buck with SportsCenter. All right, we're talking Paul Allen, innovator in many ways, technology, business, and sports. We heard Terry Porter, head coach of the University of Portland Pilots, former Blazer great. I mean, when your number's in the rafters, I think things were good in your career here. And TP joined us on the Catlin Capital hotline moments ago, and he said, you know, we were one of two teams in the NBA to have our own plane. And I remember going out to the old Hillsborough Airport.
It's pretty cool.
In 1990 and greeting the team back from Detroit, you know, in the, Blazer One is what it was called. They had their own plane, Blazer One. And, you know, there would be hordes of people going and just going to the airport to watch Blazer One land. It was its own personal plane. And that was like the new and innovative stuff that he was doing on the professional sports scene. And like he was saying, like they used to practice at the Jewish Community Center and Lewis and Clark College. And when they came into Lewis and Clark, I remember my dad was coaching football there. And they took a look around and were like, yeah, this ain't going to do it. So they gutted. They took over one whole locker room, completely gutted it. And it was the nicest locker room.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Ever. And then it was locked all day, all year round. The Blazers weren't there, still locked up. But you'd catch a glimpse in there every now and then, and it was far different than anything else. He cared about his players and his team.
Yeah, he really did. Just the entire, I mean, we've gone over this today, and I'm sure I asked everybody out there on the Better You Today text line, name a time or something that Paul Allen did for you, be it the chance to go to a Blazer game, be it influence something. You mentioned he invented the right click button. These things that you blow your mind of what he did, just more than just sports. But I know we look at here in Portland because, you know, Microsoft and everything they did up there in Seattle, but what he did here in this city and everything is just really, I mean, quiet to the point where you didn't really realize it until he's gone.
Well, he built Moda Center.
Yeah.
Kept the team here when he first bought it. Kept the team here by when the city wouldn't publicly fund a stadium, said, all right, I'll do it on my own. And which that is very tough to do, especially in a small market. And then, you know, he sold Moda Center because they were in financial troubles, still kept the team here, and then bought it back. I mean, that guy did a ton for this city and made sure that we weren't footing the bill for everything. And this is from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. He said, 30 years as Blazers owner, 23 trips to the Western playoffs, two NBA Finals appearances, and a relentless advocate for Portland, the Pacific Northwest, and small market NBA franchises. And that's one of the things that comes out of, you know, when a guy passes like this, and we hear Terry talking about how he cared about the players more. Like he wanted to know more than just basketball. He wanted to know people on a personal level. Is that we just saw Paul Allen as this guy who sat next to his buddy Burt Cold with security all around him. And even as media, he'd walk up and down the hallways with security kind of blazing his trail through. So, and it was just kind of like this, I don't know, separate existence that he had from everybody else. But the reality of it is that you're hearing all of these stories that are coming out now that have all been out there individually, but you, when somebody dies, they come together in one, where rock stars, musicians, Leonardo DiCaprio, professional athletes, story of Marshawn Lynch after he signed his big contract with the Seahawks, right? And he was standing in the hallway and talking with Paul Allen afterwards, and then goes into Pete Carroll's office, and you know, Pete Carroll's like, hey, you know, so how'd that conversation go? He's like, that's a cool ass old dude I was just talking to out there. And Pete Carroll's like, you know who that is? You didn't know he's talking to
no
the
clue.
Owner.
Zero. None whatsoever.
You know, like you see all of these stories of, you know, the personal connections that we never saw.
No.
We never saw.
I mentioned about his legendary parties just on his 414-foot yacht. You get to see that he loved Jimi Hendrix, what he built, and how he had just these little small effects on things. And, you know, you want to enjoy life. Every single one of us, you can't take anything with you. And here's a guy that's worth 20-some billion dollars. And all of it, I'm sure, is been planned perfectly. I mean, I can't imagine it not. I'm not going to sit here and go over the estate. And we all, as fans, I know we'll go through the grieving time with the family. We're going to be curious about what the future holds for not only two cities. I mean, he really holds two sports cities in the palm of his hand at the time. And now that he is gone, I mean, there's going to be a lot of questions we answer. But during this time, we look back and go, what did he do for two cities? Well, he did a lot.
Yeah. And if to kind of highlight that, what is going to happen now, and you know, this isn't the time, but I know there's a lot of questions out there. There's what will happen with the Portland Trailblazers and Seahawks is apparently they will go into a bidding process. It is owned by the family trust, which is now just his sister and I believe her son. And it'll go into the trust, and then in all likelihood, they will go up for sale. But we don't know that there could be restrictions put on it where Paul Allen could have said, hey, you can't move the team. If you want to buy it, you can keep it there. But the likelihood, according to Brian Berger, SB Radio, Sports Business Radio on Twitter, who worked for Paul Allen, the Blazers, says he thinks it's like less than 1% chance that either the Blazers or Seahawks move.
Well, I can't imagine the league thinks it's a good idea to take two teams and remove them from cities that are not only flourishing, but are cash flush.
Rabid fan bases, too. Rabid fan bases. And so it'll be interesting to see who the next owner is and if he has a passion for basketball like Paul Allen does.
Well, you just never know who the people are that are stepping up. We have the Portland Diamond Project here that are, we don't know the major money behind it, but we know the push towards getting a baseball team here. We do understand that there's a lot of money. There are some people out there that you have no idea who they are, and they might love sports no matter what. But if you want to get into the business of athletics like Paul Allen did and the investment he made in 1988, 1996, just look at the value of how much sports has changed and how much more money is involved in it. It's incredible.
I think 15 of his $20 billion are going to be donated to various charities.
It's fantastic.
Philanthropy is something that he had a great passion for. $4 billion of his personal money over his lifetime spent, and then another $15 billion will be spent as he passes on, and that money gets donated to things like the Allen Brain Institute and several other charities. But Paul Allen, dead at the age of 65 years old from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and you know, the incredible stories that are coming out from every corner of the world about Mr. Allen. Okay, let's get on the sports train. We got a lot going on in the sports world today. LCSs that are in play. Odell Beckham may be in trouble. NBA season tips off. And we have one note from what we ended yesterday's show on that we can revisit quite quickly. Dustin and Cam on The Fan. Okay, quick little note, Skis here. Yesterday we were wondering about the Pac-12 in College Game Day. P1 Orion, he pointed this out to us. The Bear from College Game Day tweeted out, now 11 Power 5 schools from which Game Day is not broadcast a show, ranked in order of odds, who I think will be the next or the first time to host. So there's 11 Power 5 schools that have not hosted. There's one Pac-12 team.
Yes. Which one is it?
It is Cal. I could have swore Cal Oregon was one.
No. Cal Oregon in Eugene was one. It was the game that Cam Colvin fumbled out the back of the end zone to end it.
Nobody wants to go to Cal.
That was the first of two in Eugene that year. They later got it against Arizona State.
Okay. Well, maybe the hippies in Berkeley are scaring him off.
I think so. I don't think they want him to set up anything near close to the stadium.
Mm-mm. Damn you, capitalistic pigs. Okay, no SEC teams remain. They've hit all of the SEC schools.
No surprise.
Vanderbilt, a little surprising.
Well, back in the day, how long ago was Vanderbilt? It was significant. It's Nashville. Why would you want to go to Nashville?
Well, I'd love to go to Nashville,
but a great town.
Not for the football. The Pac-12 is the only school besides the SEC that has one or fewer. The Big 12 has got two schools that have not hosted game day.
Two original Big 12s or pseudo Big 12s?
I think they're original.
Okay.
They're original Big 12s.
Which one is it?
Well, there's two.
Okay.
One is super easy.
Iowa State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one is easier.
Hmm.
You're kidding me.
Wait, Baylor?
No.
What do you mean kidding me?
Worst program in college football.
Oh, God. Kansas. Sorry.
Excuse me. Second worst.
Rutgers.
Rutgers is bad.
I don't know.
Wasn't Kansas a BCS team like 6 years ago?
It was more than 6 years ago. You're talking about the
Mark Mangino,
Tim Riesling years with Mangino. Yeah,
but you do have Aqib Talib.
You had both corners. You had Aqib Talib and Chris Harris, both coming out of there. Rutgers is also the Big Ten has Big Ten and ACC each have four teams that have not hosted game day. The Big Ten has got Minnesota, Maryland. Isn't it weird Maryland's in the Big Ten, not the ACC?
Yeah, it is weird.
And then Illinois and Rutgers. Ooh, I pronounced the S. Illinois and Rutgers. And then the ACC has got Duke, Virginia, Wake Forest, Syracuse.
Okay.
Yet to host college game day. So now that the Cougs get it, hey.
It's the most famous one, though. It's Cougs. It's got to be because of what you've been. I want to know the original history and the story behind bringing Old Crimson to it. And it was just that fight for 15-plus years to be able to do that.
You got
to
go back to 2003 when then Washington State is going off of back-to-back 10-win seasons and then going for a third 10-win season in a row, correct? Wasn't that 01, 02, 03 that they had back-to-back-to-back 10-win seasons?
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, you're sitting there going, what do we got to do to get to college game day? And so I'm guessing they decided to send the flag. Isn't that the...
My understanding is they started something in their alumni network where like the athletic donor, you know, the equivalent of like the Duck Athletic Fund or something, where they send out an email who's in which locations, and they kind of have a roster of alumni who live there.
Well,
and so they just ship it to that person
every
week.
Well, that's how they get it there, but
correct me if I'm wrong,
about how it started. Like, why you got to be so upset that you got to send it to a bunch of different places?
Well, wasn't it last year that there was a controversy that it had been lost?
Yes, we did get it lost in the mail.
And it had to, and there was an emergency flag raising.
I think they drove it.
Oh, did something to it. I can't remember which city it was in, but yeah.
I think there was a storm that was prohibiting its travel or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, because they mail it and you sign it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you sign the old Crimson.
Will Old Crimson continue after?
No, it can't.
No, it's done, right?
No,
done. And then who will be the next program that will start their flag ceremony?
Nobody's really
Rutgers.
Like if you read this list,
mm-hmm.
nobody's quite like maybe Minnesota. Mm. Maybe Minnesota, where you have a fan base that is like, think of who's like Washington State on this list. It's Iowa State or Minnesota.
Yeah, I think it's Iowa State. Iowa State has the inside after their big win.
Country.
Yeah, their head coach is getting some big noise. The Cyclones.
Yeah.
Well, cool name,
you
got to
have passion and fervor. Their uniforms were sweet,
I
too.
I liked those.
The all blacks, the blackout.
You knocking off West Virginia.
Yeah. That's Country good. Road. Take me home. Oh, God.
We actually do have a little news breaking.
Oh, God.
Penei Sewell out with an ankle injury this week.
Oh.
That is big news for the Oregon Ducks. Penei Sewell, by the way, starting left tackle.
Left tackle.
6'7", 340-pound...
Officially ruled out.
Freak of nature for the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah, he is.
That kid is amazing.
Well, he needs to have his foot get right. So maybe they just feel like this is not a good time to put him out there and roll him out there and try to injure it for the rest of the year. And the
he'll
depth,
miss approximately 6 weeks is what the
report
says.
Wow, must be a serious high ankle sprain. Gotta be.
That's brutal.
That's
6 weeks.
Way.
That's the rest of your regular season.
It sure is.
Might get him for a bowl game, I guess.
God, it's got to be a high ankle sprain, which takes forever.
Yeah, the release does say high ankle injury. It doesn't say sprain that. Or tear or anything like that.
But high ankle injuries are, it took me 6 weeks to battle back. You think you're right. It just, it's almost worse than breaking your ankle.
6 weeks out, you're looking at hopefully getting him back for the, at an optimistic rate, the Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah, that's too bad. But you can test your depth immediately.
If you make it that far.
But this is the first time, again, I mentioned this too. This first time Oregon really got to face a battle of a game. And they faced a team that was just as physical. And it turned out that when you do in one of those games where you beat on each other like they did, Washington and Oregon was beating the crap out of each other, you're going to have some bumps and bruises. Washington's going to lose maybe two backs this week. Both their one and two backs. And now you lose your starting left tackle. But I think if you're an Oregon fan right now, you feel very comfortable saying we have depth at offensive line and can handle it.
Yeah, but if you look at the one guy who gave up pressures, in Pro Football Focus did their breakdown, Brady Aiello, the backup tackle, when they moved Calvin Throckmorton from the right side of the line over to the left, Brady Aiello is the one offensive lineman that gave up pressures to the quarterback.
Blindside.
Throckmorton was on the left. They moved Aiello to the right.
Yeah.
But with Dallas Warmack back this week, then at least you have four or five starters. Mm-hmm. You feel probably a little bit more comfortable there. Oh, that's big news. Okay. That'll do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow from 6 to 9 a.m. Up next, you have The Herd with Colin Cowherd. He's on from 9 to noon. Noon to 3 is during Sprague. 3 to 7, Primetime with Isaac and Souk. And then after that is the Mario Cristobal Show on Tuesdays. Over on 910 ESPN Portland, you've got 2 o'clock Astros, Red Sox, Gostros.
Look at that.
And then 6 o'clock, Doyers, Brewers, Game 4 from LA, Game 3 in Houston. We will see you tomorrow. Up next is The Herd on 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.